Okay, I just want to have so again, no shir tomorrow. We will have shir on Sunday, Mirz Hashem. So tomorrow, no shir. I just wanted to share with you a short vort, which I feel is important with regards to Shavuos and Betamuz. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. I'd like to focus. The whole Gemara is a fascinating Gemara. Whoever's got a bit of time, I strongly recommend to go to the Gemara in Tzadivov on the base in Sanhedrin. It's a very interesting Gemara. How the actual destruction of the Beis Hamikdash took place. It's an interesting Gemara. I just want to look at really literally one line of the Gemara. The conversation when the person who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, it speaks about the Sancheiriv and various people who actually physically destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara then says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu then said to the Sancheiriv and the ones who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, within the whole conversation, which is a fascinating conversation, Hashem then said, you know, I'm reading the words of the Gemara, you think you destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, you didn't actually destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and the words that the Gemara says are as follows: Kimcha techine techinas. And you have destroyed a ground place. It's been completely ground already. It's flour, it's like destroyed already before you come in. And later on, again, a similar expression. What you're planning to destroy, in actual fact, it's destroyed already. It's destroyed already. And the Mefarshim asked, what do you mean it's destroyed already? This is the army now, the military, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash taking place. They're coming, progressing towards the Beis Hamikdash. First, the siege of Yerushalayim, then proceeding into the actual destruction of the very physical Beis Hamikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not destroying the Beis Hamikdash, it's destroyed already. What is he referring to? So I saw a pshat, which I believe comes from Shlomo Zalman, which is a fascinating pshat. And he said the Beis Hamikdash is not just the physical existence of the Beis Hamikdash. Much more important than that is a person's connection to the Beis Hamikdash. If the Yidden wish and want and desire to have the Beis Hamikdash, and it's important for them, then it stands, and its physical existence is also very solid and very strong. However, if Chas V'Shalom, the Yidden themselves have no particular importance in the Beis Hamikdash, and it's not particularly relevant to them, and it's very important for them, then its physical existence may be, but it's not going to last long, and has not much chashivas and hasn't got much strength, because behind that physical existence there is a spiritual existence, uchnist existence, standing on that. Now, whilst perhaps it's a Kabbalistic concept, but clearly this is what the Gemara is referring to as well. It says you want to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, well, it's destroyed already, because it's true, its stones are there, and its physical existence is here, but you won't destroy it, because it's destroyed already. Because unfortunately, the Yidden of that particular generation, they had no particular importance in the Beis Hamikdash, and it wasn't particularly relevant for them, and it wasn't choshuv to them. So, whilst in stone it still existed, but in machshava it ceased to exist already. It's a fascinating concept. Malbim speaks about it in other places too. The Malbim in Sefer Shmuel speaks of it, Sefer Melachim speaks about it, and other Mefarshim too. Now this is talking about the negative aspect of when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. But of course, what is relevant to us and the message to us is that if you want to build the Beis Hamikdash, then the starting point is for us in understanding its importance. And if once we have that kesher and the connection to the Beis Hamikdash and the ruchnistik existence of the Beis Hamikdash exists, upon that the actual physical existence of physical Beis Hamikdash can be built, which probably the Gemara says Beis Hamikdash is going to come down from Shemayim, which is not even in our hands. But the point being is that our avodah is to actually feel connection and feel a connection and feel a desire and a wish towards it. Once that exists, the rest can happen. So I want to share with you that, because it's mamash posh, it's a very simple, straightforward and correct understanding in the Gemara. Okay. So now we continue in page 214 in Siman Tov Tzadikres and Ches Yom Tov, and we discussed yesterday at the end of the shiur. We're going to carry on from there straight away, which is the concept of Sofek Muktzah. So it's really important, you saw it. If something is Sofek Muktzah, when when Yom Tov comes in, you're not sure if it's something which was within your remit, and therefore not Muktzah, or something which was beyond your remit, and therefore Muktzah. Was it set aside, yes or no? If you're not sure about it, then it's something Muktzah, which Shulchan Aruch allows, but the Mugravom asks. So any suffering Muktzah, if you're not sure, should be also, and we put it in context of the post, which I'm not sure it's true, I believe there's some comparison, that if you're not sure where the post that you get delivered on Shabbos, if you're not sure where it was when Shabbos comes in, or when Yom Tov comes in for that matter, it remains Muktzah, whatever happens, even if there's a reasonable chance that it was within the Tchum. We continue, Siv Dalet. If you've got animals who know very well how to sleep, Chutz Tchum, outside of the Tchum, they found in the city, within the boundaries, on the second day. So, on the second day Yom Tov, you've got evidence, you're finding them being in the city, so they're within the Tchum on the second day. Ani Oimer, we say, Shema Me'erev Ichnison, perhaps you took them in before. Is that it could very well be, it's very likely that they were within the Tchum when the second day came in. That's all we need. The Kolshkin Ashchut is Bavoika, and certainly the ones in the morning, we've got a sofek about the animals when Yom Tov comes in, where they were. When the second day Yom Tov came in, we're not sure. But on the second day Yom Tov, now I've got evidence that they are within the Tchum. But I do not know where they were when second day Yom Tov came in. Shulchan Aruch says this is Mutter, because it could very well be there within the Tchum, and it's fine. So Sofek Muktzah, in this case, according to Shulchan Aruch, is Mutter. But the question is obvious, Sofek Muktzah, we just said a minute ago, Sofek Muktzah is also, so how can that be? And indeed, the Mishneh Berurah says that this is all according to the opinion of Shulchan Aruch. But us who hold that Sofek Muktzah is also, will indeed forbid this. Seif Katan, Chav Gimel, Seif Katan, Sivkotten Chav Zayin at the end. V'das the Magnavom Shloile Hokel. The opinion of the Magnavom is not to be lenient. Rak Pshaakum Shori Beir Beimus Metzuz Letchum Letchum. The Bazel Machzikin Isura. He said that the Magnavom says that no Sofek Muktzah is also, and therefore you may not use it. Sofek Muktzah, as we said earlier, is also okay. Seif Hey. Egal Shinoilat Beyontev. Okay, what happens if a little calf is born on Yom Tov? Imagine that you've got a calf, a newborn calf on Yom Tov, which was born on Yom Tov. Can you shecht it or not?
Noilat.
You say Noilat. Yeah, I can see you learned the Gemara Beitza well. Did you learn Beitza recently? So the Shulchan Aruch get as follows, because it's not posh that there's noilad in it. Because the Gemara says in Beitza that before the birth of an animal, already just before the birth, it's already complete and it's fully developed, ready for birth. And therefore, there may not be noilad per se. Because it's already prepared, as it were. So let's see what Shulchan Aruch says. Egel shenayla b'yom tev, an egel, a calf which was born on Yom Tov. Mutar l'shochtoi, you're allowed to shecht the animal. You're allowed to shecht the animal. Im ho'eim omeres l'achila. If the mother was ready to be, you had planned to eat the mother, so fine. So if the baby, the calf is born on Yom Tov, then fine. By all means, you can have the what is it called? Is it called the goat? Not a kid. It's a goat, right? Yeah. So you can eat the calf. You can eat the calf as well. So if you're prepared to eat the mouth, you can also eat the calf. Although it was born on Yom Tov, nevertheless it is permitted to shecht. Vehu, provided the kimle begavei, that you know, you've got the knowledge that it is fully developed. It's a calf that is fully ready to be born, not a early birth, not a premature delivery. Why is that important? What will be if it's a premature calf? What will be then? Why would it be also? The answer is because if you were it might not make it. It might not be a healthy animal, and it might be a tefa, and it might be an animal which is not. You can't shecht an animal which wouldn't live, it wouldn't survive. Any animal which is a tefa, which wouldn't make it for 24 hours, you're not allowed to shecht. Because so therefore, if you have got a premature calf, then it could very well be that it wouldn't survive. Therefore, you may not shecht it. Therefore, we wait, and we have to have an established factor that it is a fully developed calf. Now the remark continues. Vinon gamken we also need shefes al gabi karka, that it is that it must have stood on the ground. It must have made its first initial standing on the ground. Techashinon, because we are concerned. Shema, perhaps yirel boy reser, that perhaps you're going to see some blemish. Beivorim apnimim, with the internal organs, v'nimtza, and it turns out, shachat b'yomtav shlore tzorech, perhaps you may cholila end up shechting and slaughtering an animal without any need. If it's an animal that is not kosher, then it's an animal which you cannot shecht. So if you have any chashash and any reservation that perhaps this animal may perhaps be a trefa, and he may not make it, and it's an animal that may not be, then it might not be a kosher animal, which you wouldn't be allowed to shecht. You can only shecht an animal which you're going to end up eating. If it's not a kosher animal, you're not allowed to shecht it. To find evidence for that, is first of all, you've got to see that it's fully grown, point number one. The Rama adds, you've got to make sure also that it's standing, and it's got the physical stamina and strength to stand on its feet. Once you've got that, then it's fine. Now continues the Shulchan Aruch with an additional halacha. What happens if you've got a Shabbos right next to a Yom Tov, one after the other? Then if it was born on the first day, then you could eat it on the second day. So if the first day was Shabbos, second day was Yom Tov, you could eat it on Yom Tov. And if the first day was Yom Tov, second day was Shabbos, you could eat it on Shabbos, because on the first day and on the second day, it's not mukts anymore, because it's the second day already, so it'll be fine. Okay, we continue with Seifov. Behema Mr. Kenneth, Shio Shemes Shemotomus. Seifov teaches us what happens if you've got an animal which looks very ill. It's not a newborn, not a newborn. We're moving on, next topic. You've got an animal, you see this animal, and you see this is going to die. It's just not going to make it. As a well-experienced farmer, you recognize this animal being pretty ill, and you know it's not going to make it for the next 24 hours. Behemo mesukenes, an animal which is dangerously ill, sheyore, and you fear, you are afraid, top of the page, shema, perhaps Thomas will die. You're afraid he's perhaps going to die. Ochal kva. Now, the thing is that if you plan to eat this, so what's the problem? The problem is, if you have not eaten at all on that particular Yom Tov, so fine, pick that animal that looks unwell and shecht it and eat it, and that's very good and very nice, by all means. The problem starts if you've eaten already. If you've eaten already, and there's no realistic chance that you aren't going to eat this animal anymore, then it's a problem. Because you can't just shecht an animal for no purpose if there's no realistic chance you're going to end up eating it. So again, you've got an animal which is ill. you know it might not make it for much longer. You want to shecht it. So if there is, if you can end up eating it, then fine, gesund eit, shecht it and eat it and enjoy. Peteavon, as they say. Oh, so we must be talking about that. You know it's not a teifa. You know it's ill, but you don't suspect it to be a teifa. You think it's likely to die over the next day or two, but you don't. It's not something which is about a teifa. But it's a good question. What you're asking?
What's the definition of a
teifa? Yeah, teifa is. Yeah.
If an animal is going to die within 12 months, it's not going to survive. It's regarded as a traitor, and this animal is on his last legs.
Yeah, it's a good question. Why is this not a traitor? So I you're saying it's by definition a teifa. If it's a mesukenes, it should be by definition a teifa. See, I thought when I was learning, I was thinking that there might be such a scenario of an animal which is. No, you're right. Your question is correct. Your question is correct. Does anybody have an answer to that interesting question? Good question. Let's carry on a bit. I do not know the answer to your good question. What is not teifa? I don't know. So continue the continue.
What
halacha
we said so far? What are we saying at the moment?
We're learning seifov. I'm starting again. Beima mesuken is an animal which is mesuken, which is dangerous, which he doesn't know if it's going to make it. Shiyor Hashem Otomos is afraid. Perhaps it's going to die. Are you with me, Reb Gideon? And he's eaten already, and he doesn't really need the animal anymore. He doesn't need it for eating because he's full already. Also, he's not allowed to shecht the animal. Elohim Cain, unless Yeshus b'yoyim, that there is still time. There must still be time, realistic, reasonable time, that he's going to end up eating. He could still roast it and eat it. There must be reasonable time. So normally we would say, let's see what Mishnah says. If cotton dalet, lamed dalet. K'dei lechol mimeno, ach shteitz nafsho, k'mo shikosu b'yeridesim l'chav zayin. After ain day to lechol mimeno klum, although his intention is not to eat it. V'atam, and the reason is, the boyfriend zeh, sheyeshu's lechol, if there is still a bit of time to fry, to roast it and to eat it, ein isa min ha-toyre le-shochta, there is no toyre isa to shecht it on Yom Tov. The ilu hoyom is damna le-oichim, if in theory there could be visitors and guests that would show up, shaloi ochlu which haven't eaten, adain, v'roitzim ato lechon, and they want to eat at this stage, mebehem zu from this animal, hoy so ashchite muteres lohem, the ashchite would have been fine for them and permitted. Im kein, therefore, shchite zu nikes melech zechon nefesh. Therefore, since there is a realistic, potential scenario that visitors will come, and you may still need to shecht for them, therefore, and they, therefore, as long as there's still time to shecht animal, to roast it and to eat it, since there is, so therefore at all times, as long as you've got that in sufficient time, let's say it takes an hour or two, it's 1 hour or two before Motzei Yom Tov. That makes it therefore into a meleches oichel nefesh. Although you are perhaps not going to eat it, you're full, you've eaten that much, you can't eat anymore. But, and you're really genuinely not going to eat. But since there is a potential chance, an opportunity that this in theory could happen, that suddenly people knock on the door, can we eat something? And so therefore, and you'd have sufficient time to serve it to them, therefore it's considered oichel nefesh, at least from a Torah perspective. Although there is no business actually physically coming, this shechita is not awesome in a Torah, But generally, still, the Rabbanon is also kolchein b'tzorich yomtov, as long as there is no tzorich yomtov. But Pemokim have said, since there is a financial loss at this stage, Loemidu Chachomim, Divrei Chachomim have allowed it altogether. So it's not also from a Torah perspective. Normally it would be awesome at the Rabbanon, but the Issa Rabbanon doesn't apply since there is financial loss because of this animal may die and then it's going to be lost, financial loss. Mashainkin bevehim ubriya, however, it's a healthy animal, any shachta, you may not shecht it in kain tzorch lo b'yom tov gufa. A healthy animal you may only shecht if you're actually going to physically eat it. So I'm making a distinction over here. If it's a healthy animal, you may only shecht it for your own sake if you're actually going to eat it. Now, when it comes to an animal that you think you're going to lose altogether, it's going to be a lost financial case. So there we're looking and say, okay, you're not going to eat it, I know. If you are going to eat it, great, shecht it and eat it. If you're not going to eat it, realistically, genuinely, honestly, if you're not going to eat it, the answer is, well, if in theory, if somebody could still end up using it, if it's enough time that somebody could, then it's fine. Now you're going to say, yes, that's fine, not her perspective, but rabbinically this would still be also. The answer is yes, generally rabbinically would be also, but Chachomim have allowed it over here because of the financial loss. Right, these are the lochas of this evening. I very much value Brad's question. I have to think about this. These are the lochas of this evening. We'll continue with Hashem on Monday. I wish you a very pleasant evening to all.